And welcome to the party, pal.
Oh, you beat me to it.
it's Shift and Stare, episode 337. And we're ready to go. It's just Aaron and I because Maddie is up at Laguna because his boss, Adam Carolla, is racing. He's racing somebody else's car. Did you see that, a Camaro?
Yeah, that should be interesting.
So they've got this weekend, as we're recording it, it's the Trans Am cars, and then IMSA's up there next week. Mm-hmm. So I was tempted to go.
Pretty cool.
Because my buddy Dave Merrick, as you can see, I'm wearing the Acura hat today. He's going up there next week because, you know, they're really big in IMSA, Acura, and have a pretty good record. So, but I'm not going to be able to break away. I'd like to.
You'll be able to break away?
I'd like to do.
I was thinking of going too because my friend has a team that they're running too. So they're running a Cadillac. So I was like, maybe I'll go to Laguna next week.
Well, you're closer than me.
So. Yeah, I'm still 5.5 hours away. I'm not that much closer. I'm like
right.
a half an hour.
Well, that's true.
I'm like a half an hour less. Aren't you 6.5?
Hey, on today's show, I'm going to rant and rave, pal. Okay.
Good. I'm a little bit in the mood to listen.
And then we're going to talk about F1 ditching the 13-inch wheels. IndyCar, you got the Indy 500 coming up, man. Can you believe that's coming again? And we're going to talk about cheap cars. And I don't mean like cheap cars that you buy in a junkyard, but just cheap cars. And then some automotive milestones. Found a really cool article on the web, and it had some really good insight into American ingenuity and getting the automotive world going. But it's all today on Shift and Steer. And before we get started, I got to tell you about Geico. Geico. Geico asks, would you love to save money on insurance? Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you could save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. That's Geico, G-E-I-C-O.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Okay, here's the deal, bro.
All right.
I don't know if you've noticed, Aaron, but way back, we're probably going 4 years ago now, I prototyped up some sunglasses because I was going to start manufacturing sunglasses. And oh, yeah. I did some yellows. I did some, some clear lens. And then ever since, I've been wearing the blue lens. And everybody's like, blue lenses, where'd you get blue lenses? Well, blue lens, I didn't invent them or anything, but not many people wear them, you know, and and everybody was digging them, checking them out. I get approached every once in a while about them. And the reason I didn't start the company was simply because I looked at it from a standpoint of rate of return, you know, return on investment and things like that, and having to manufacture them in China. And I made a good call because with the pandemic, you couldn't get anything out of China.
Yeah.
And so we put everything off. We'll see, maybe in the future. If you think you'd be interested in them, let me know. The more encouragement I get, the maybe more I would do it. But I did have a lot of people interested, but not enough to start a whole company over it, you know? And, but that, and there's another thing I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I use the word pal. Have you ever noticed that, Aaron?
No, it I think it escaped me.
You ever notice it, pal? No, you know, we talked about it kiddingly on the show. We, you know, about how bringing back pal. We're gonna bring back, you know, what Bruce Willis used and what they used on Miami Vice and, you know, the 80s and all that. We had fun with it and I've been using it ever since. Well, here's the funny thing. Now it's like you like to feel like maybe you had a little bit to do with it.
Right.
Knowing that I didn't, because I'm not an influencer, not like you and Matt, but Blue Lenses, let's take them. All of a sudden I start seeing these celebrities start showing up in glasses with blue lenses on TV and in, you know, talk shows and news and in paparazzi. And I'm talking all across the board. I mean, you know, all kinds of like rock stars and actors and people like that. And then this week I'm watching a talk show. You know, actually my wife was watching it and I come walking through and the guy's throwing around pal left and right. And he goes, "Oh yeah, man." He goes, and this guy was from New York and he goes, "'Cause yeah, it's just, you know, it's the new expression everybody's using." And, and I went, "What?" Then you ever use Venmo or even know what it is, you know, for transferring money and like that?
Sure.
I transferred some money and I get a thank you note from the Venmo company. And the email says, here's the money you transferred from your pals at Venmo.
Oh,
I'm like, man. Wait a minute.
Well, so, if corporate's using it, then it's out of fashion.
And then we talked off camera a couple weeks ago about one of the producers at Corolla that works with us on the production side. And he's a younger guy. And he said to me, he goes, "Dude, I was watching this Bruce Willis movie over the weekend."
Oh yeah.
And he goes, I go, "Okay." And he goes, "It's called Die Hard." And I'm like, yeah, been around for a long time. And he goes, "But he used your line, man." He's like, "Welcome to the party, pal." And we're like dying because we're like, we're kind of like using his line, you know?
These kids, Brad, they don't know what's going on.
But it was awesome. It was awesome. But so everybody, hilarious. Remember Blue Shades and pal. Where'd they come from? We brought back the 80s. So,
oh, God, no. You mean high-waisted jeans and, oh, there's some horrible stuff.
No, we brought back the good things.
Okay? Oh, you know what I'm seeing, too? I'm seeing those knit Mexican poncho things, you know, those.
Oh, I thought you were going to say those knit shirts. I mean, not the knit, but the
knit remember shirt. The, oh, God.
Remember the shirts that were, they were like see-through, that were like,
oh,
a mesh?
Yeah, the fishnet. The fishnet.
That's what I was looking for. Fishnet.
I think that's always been in that community. It's been popular in that scene, you know.
It's like,
the Miami boys.
Yeah, or the perforated ones, like, you know, we used to wear when we were kids.
Those were jerseys, though.
Yeah, they were like jerseys, but they made them into like regular shirts. They used that material for everything back then.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
It's
what else is going to come back? I guess you can eat your Twinkies from the 80s.
You probably could. Or your McDonald's hamburger if you find it.
Yeah, oh.
Hey, there is something from the 80s that's changing, though, that we can talk about. And that F1. Dude, did you hear that F1's changing up their wheels? They're all going to Bond speeds?
Yeah, it's all over the internet. They're pretty cool looking. I mean, it definitely makes them more temporary.
That went right over your head, didn't it?
Oh, sorry.
I said they're all going to Bond speeds. And you just go, yeah, it's all over the internet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I wish.
I've got 14 inches of snow sitting outside that I'm dreading on clearing because it's wet and heavy. So my mind is not in the game. I apologize.
It yeah, did. An FF when, was a my... snowplow, you wouldn't have to worry about it, man.
Ooh, that might be a thing.
Yeah.
Forget that front bumper. Just slide in a...
But
I'm real curious. I didn't do any research, so I'm real curious to hear what you have to say about its handling, because I mean, 13 to 18, that is a significant difference. And I know I went from 19s to 20s and I'm like, wow, I can really feel the difference. It's really hard. And the back end jumps a little bit now. Like if I hit a bump in the corners, and I mean, could you imagine going from 13 all the way to 18? I mean, that's like going
from go-kart wheel to, you know, but you got to remember F1, IndyCar, all those guys, they do so much testing that, they've known this is coming. They've got it all dialed in by now. And the big difference, though, is that it used to be each team would go to the wheel companies. They'd get their style, their size, their offset, everything to fit their body work, their styling. But now it's standardized. Everybody uses the exact same wheel. And that's a big difference because – there's a lot of factors here that come in. When you figure, one of the figures I saw was that when you take the different compounds for wet, dry, and various conditions that they have, and then you take that, that there's two cars per team and they change their tires X amount of times, that they have like 1,040 wheels and tires per race. And that comes up to 22,000 tires sitting there at the track, you know? And so when they would use these wheels in the past, they would use them, they'd retire them, use them and retire them. And so now they're going to be able to reuse. It's kind of a green initiative. It's part of that so that they can reuse these things. And I'm talking reuse them through a season and then maybe even into the next season. And so if you think of the cost savings and the reduction of materials and things, they're still going to be using lots of tires. I mean, that's not going to go away because they can't reuse those, obviously. But BBS is going to be building them all. So, they got the deal to do it. But if you remember, we said earlier that every team would come to BBS or OZ or one of those companies, and they would say, hey, we want this style. They're actually reducing down because they're not going to be getting orders all the time. They're not going to be getting specialty orders. So they're going to be making one wheel for everybody and just doling them out. So it's, reuse them, less weights, but everything's getting standardized. So it's going to be interesting. You're going to make the cars look different. Do you remember back in the, I don't know if it was the late 70s or the early 80s, but the Tyrell cars with the little bitty, like, axles up front?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think two of them live up here in Tahoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 One's in a collection and one's in a race trailer. I don't know if it does showcasing or what, but
they had those little tiny.
Didn't they do a version with four rear wheels too, and two in the front, or were they all four in the front? And they were the Elf cars, right? They were Elf fuels or something.
Yeah, there was a couple teams that used them. Yeah, Tyrell built them, and there was Elf and a few people, but they were wild looking, you know.
Wicked
and they
cool.
They were teeny little wheels, and it was cool. I obviously it didn't work out as well as they wanted it to. Yeah. More teams would have been doing it. But
now, are these wheels still magnesium or are they aluminum or some sort of alloy?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't go that deep down the rabbit hole, Aaron.
Carbon fiber, you know.
But I don't think they use carbon fiber in those because of the fragility of them, you know. Yeah.
I'm really curious how it's going to wear tires too. If there's different temperatures now with a lower profile, if there's more or less heat. I've got so many questions, Brad, and this is in your wheelhouse. So what's going on?
It's a forged magnesium wheel, which is 25% lighter.
There we go.
And They're, you know, so that's a big deal. They're bigger, but they're 25% lighter. So that's considerable. Wow.
And that's interesting. So I guess rubber is heavier than magnesium is what it boils down to, right? There's probably less rubber, so they're lighter.
Yeah, and the wheel itself is, it's just, if you remember those wheels they were using, they were spoky and they were pretty. They've gone utilitarian wheel, you know.
Yeah. Well, the proportions are really cool because that center knockoff, you know, had a certain diameter that was proportioned to the wheel. And now that knockoff size looks so much smaller because the wheel's bigger, you know. So it changed.
You know what? On another note, because when they make a major change like that, that's going to change their whole dynamic of their pit stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different thing they're grabbing. You know, say it's just going to throw it. They've been doing it for so long with a, you know, the smaller wheel. You know,
it's true because if they grabbed it by the wheel before, like by the tire, mm-hmm. you know, maybe now are they going to grab it from the inside of the wheel, you know, or, you know, I guess it could change. I would think the overall size is the same. So the overall size of the tire, the outer diameter, it should be the same. I doubt that changed, if not too much. So I don't know. It may not change, but it's going to be a lot lighter, like you said. So maybe handling that might increase those pit times by, you know, 10/1000ths of a second.
Yeah.
What are they up to now? 2 seconds.
They were originally going to do this back in 21, but because of COVID, they pushed it to 22. Yeah. And the Pirelli says the 18-inch tire is good for technology transfer from the race to road because there aren't many cars using 13-inch wheels, obviously.
Yeah, and Mini Coopers.
Yeah, but that's another thing because they can use that tire technology that they gain from the track, which that's another big deal. You know, it's it's interesting, and when you
this is about economy. I mean, it really is, right? So the bottom line of this change is all about economy. It's not about, ooh, there's new tech in 18-inch wheels. Ooh, there's new tech. No, it's about the economy of tire, of investment,
of time.
The
savings, the way they're, you know, they're reducing economy. Their footprint. But it's also, as we just said, Pirelli can now use the technology to directly go, you know. Now, here's some answers to your questions. The tire's footprint was 405 millimeters across before. It's going to stay 405 millimeters. The 13-inch was 660 millimeters tall, outside diameter. The new one is 720 millimeters. So it is going to be a bigger diameter wheel that they got to grab. So, That will be
that's
a little
gonna
bit.
Be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be, so it's definitely going to give them a different. It's interesting, and they said that the teams are having to deal with a little bit of loss of grip as the tires wear, because the 13-inch tires had their super tall sidewalls that let them squish and morph over the track surface. Where the 18s don't have as much, so they won't be able to, you know, play with them as much and get, you know, things. Yeah, there's a lot of difference, man.
Yeah,
especially with F1.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be really interesting. Really interesting.
Now the F1 cars of America. Well, they're hardly F1 cars, but our version with Indy. Indy's coming up, and you know, always. May 29th, that's coming up, and they're out there testing right now, which just seems funny because you see on the news about how the Midwest is getting dumped on and the East Coast is getting dumped on and Tahoe's getting dumped on. And
yeah, a little bit.
But they just started testing, and did you see that near miss that they had at testing, Aaron?
No, I was trying to find it, but the 2019 one kept coming up, so I didn't get to see it.
Well, they were they just got it going, and Will Power of Penske Chevrolet, who, you know, you might remember Will Power, you hear about him a lot, but 2018 Indy 500 winner, he was coming out of the pit hot, he was just coming up the warm-up lane, and he lost traction, spun into the traffic, and the traffic was coming into turn one at 220, so they were going full tilt. And Colton Herta was in the front, and Will Power spins, and it looked like maybe he stalled and was just dead in the water. And here comes Herta's Honda, and you watch it from his perspective, from the camera in his car, and worst possible timing, man. He comes around, spins, boom, and this guy, boom, missed him like by hardly anything. Just shows those guys, they have such, you know, fast reflexes in those cars.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it really, really, you know, when you see that kind of stuff, you just go, man, it's amazing. But we'll see more of it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to say, too, you know, we had those two IndyCar drivers on, and I was at the car rally, and I didn't have good access, so I wasn't looking at stuff at the same time. I guess I haven't seen these new IndyCars. They are trippy looking, man. I mean, they are really far out looking than they used to be. I guess I haven't put my head in it in a while. It's or my eyes on it in a while. Wow, what a trip. Big windshields, and I mean, it's a totally different looking car.
Yeah, they really are. They've got that like halo around them, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Wow, very cool. Oh,
you just finally, remember, we're about a month away at this point. 106th running of the Indy 500. So there's going to be a lot of testing between now and then. We'll probably hear a lot more, bring up a lot more, and Aaron will get to see a lot more of the Indy cars.
You know, I just don't follow racing anymore like I used to. You know, it's it hasn't been on my radar, so I'm always learning from you guys, and then I go and do the research.
Yeah, what is with that? You got kind of out of racing and been doing needlepoint, and
I've been doing a lot of crocheting and needlepoint hook work is more of what I'm into.
You're hooked, man.
You know, it's kind of like a fuzzy towel, you know. it's got a high pile. No, you know, it's like my passion is in keeping my shit on the road and working on the vehicles and then juggling art commissions. And I got to say, I'm in that work mode for the last decade, it seems, that, you know, my wife's complaining that we don't go anywhere. Substantial, you know, she's going back to Czech Republic, but to visit her family soon. But, you know, we don't, since COVID, you know, I've become kind of a hermit. I mean, it's like
everybody. I mean, you know, I know we've gone a few places, but and then I got my mom, so that slows me down. But
but it's like you would think I'd follow racing or have other passions, but no, I'm at the shop or I'm sitting in front of my drawing table.
You know what? I love racing. I love all kinds of racing, but I'm one of those guys that I only like it if I'm there. I'm not a big fan of watching it on TV and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't go like on and, oh, what are the standing stuff? Because it's, I want to be there. I want the visceral experience. I want to hear it. I want to smell it. I want to taste it. I want to
very, very much guys. So. Totally agree, Brad.
And I think part of it is we're spoiled because we actually know the drivers and stuff, and we get to go hang out, and, you know, so it's different.
But Brad, we're concert people, and I haven't been to any concerts other than Dad's, and yet we listen to music daily.
I haven't even been to your dad's. Michael wanted me to come over to Vegas, and just can't make it over right now. I'm busy, you know, busy doing what? Organizing my warehouse. So,
I have to say, Brad, it just real quick, a little side note on that, you know, dad's worked his entire career and to kind of end up, you know, a 74-year-old man with a residency in Vegas. I think that was a goal. Not when he was in Van Halen, did he think, you know what? When I'm old, I want to have a residency in Vegas. I don't know. Maybe it was, but for him to have that residency is a big deal. And
and
we wanted to go and support it. And it means a lot to him to see faces, you know, that he's known for 30, 40 years, like yourself, to show up and be there. It's
pretty
cool.
I'll go over. They're going back. I'm going to go over.
I know. He said, that's it. We're done. And then he's like, okay, we got four more shows. I think it's going to do that for a while.
I knew that was going to happen when Mike said, well, you can come over but we're going to be, you know, we're not going to be in the motor coach because it's going to be hot. And I go, yeah, that's the summer show. But
they have a nice backstage and they have a nice guest room. You know, we had a bunch of beverage people there last time, and Dad had his new book. Cocktail book is real. I have to do another post. It's really cool. I mean, I don't drink, so I have to modify everything, but
I'm jealous about that because really cool. That's what I always talked about doing for Man Seeks Adventure. Cause we would do a cocktail on every show.
Yeah.
And,
totally.
And I was like, I should do a cocktail book. And then he came out with one. Nice photography and everything. And
yeah, well, that's Leah. She's done a great job. Dad's whole team is really good. So I've joined the team on marketing, and so I'm kind of consulting with his marketing team. So I'm a little more involved with this, and it's pretty cool, man. I gotta say.
Well, if I'm talking to his marketing team, he should come on Man Seeks Adventure and talk about his cocktail book.
Yeah.
And we'll make one of the cocktails from his book for the show. See?
I agree. Hey, Brad, I'll put you in touch.
Okay. Your people can talk to my people. So, I'm going to blow your mind right now. Okay.
Okay.
Autoblog.
Let me step back. Wait, let me get some traction in my chair. Okay. I'm ready.
Autoblog had an article on the top new cars, not used, new cars under $20,000.
There's cars under $20,000.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said.
I'm looking this up. New cars.
And I was like, there's what? And they said, we're going to give you the top three plus a look at the rest. And I was like, you mean there's more than one?
There's more. But there's more and they're not plastic?
Yeah.
What? 15 new cars you can buy for under 20 grand. All right. I'm
That's pulling. Crazy. So let's go through this.
Cars,
do you have it in front of you there?
I've got it. If it's that one, if it's Auto Week, I do.
No, not Auto Week. Auto Blog.
Oh, Auto Blog. Sorry. Auto this, Auto that. I tell you, Auto Blog. Okay, where is that?
So I'm going to get it started while Aaron's pulling that up.
Yeah.
But now you can imagine these are all pretty basic and small and. There's some funny things about this.
Subcompacts? Is that what we're looking at here?
Yes. It's best new cars under 20,000 is what you can search on. Well, if you just go to Autoblog, it's in one of their main features up in the top.
Yeah. Well, with names like the Kia Fart. And
so yes.
And the Nissan
Kia
Lana.
Forte. it's 19,785.
Wow.
It's actually, it opens up at 18,885. I didn't know you could get anything. Now, I will admit that I have bought new cars in the past for like around 16,000, like Charlotte's, her Fox Body Mustang convertible. I think it was like 16,700 or something like that when we
bought. Yeah, but that was back in the 80s.
I was going to say that was in the late 80s. And so, you know, but I didn't know today you could even do that. And
yeah. And you know, looking at the photos, they all have screens and air. Because remember back in the day, if you wanted a radio or you wanted air conditioning, it was cheaper. If you wanted a standard three pedal, it was cheaper, right? like if you didn't want the fancy wheels, it was cheaper. But now you get all those amenities. That's nice.
But what's funny in this article that I found humorous, and we're not going to bore everybody with all these cars, but like, let's go down to the Chevrolet Spark. And it says,
yeah. Those are cool, actually.
Stands out. Incredibly affordable, efficient, cheap enough that you can add options. And its base price is $14,595. I mean, that's like, I've seen guys have a bar bill at Barrett Jackson that's that much.
And I've seen Dad pull out some wine. But it's like, that's the cork fee.
Yeah. But what's hilarious about it is their comment could be better. And their comment is extremely slow and very cramped. Yeah. What the hell do you expect for $14,000, right? I mean,
so are these four cylinders or are these?
Oh, they're probably no cylinders.
Yeah, 98 horsepower, 1.4 liter. It's far from quick. It's the word.
It says,
well, that's okay. You know,
the rear seats are barely usable and cargo space is tight with this 1.4 liter motor. Yeah, it's far from quick. But here's another thing, Aaron. It's an automatic transmission. You remember?
Yeah.
Back when, you know, cars were like this that you were talking about, they were always manual. And they say again and again in here that it only comes with a manual transmission, you know, on some of these. And it's like, well, wait a minute. That was always an option, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
trippy. But, you know, I'm surprised to see the Volkswagen and the Subaru Impreza and the Volkswagen Jetta. I'm really
Jetta.
Surprised to see those in there. Yeah, four-door
Jetta. I knew
lots
of guys. You know, that were getting Jettas and stuff like that.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what else is amazing is some of these, their comments are, for as small and underpowered as it is, it doesn't get very good, you know, mileage or boring looking. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, but what it comes down to is that you can get something for basic transportation if you need to. And think about it. If you financed a car like this for even 3 years, you know, if you're talking an $18,000 car, let's say over 36 months, you're going to be like, I bet you can finance this thing for like $500 a month or less, you know?
Yeah. And, Well, I'll tell you that there's some cool cars in here. So, I mean, come on, like the Kia Soul, that's a good looking car. You know, the Chevy Sonic, not bad.
The Hyundai Venue's not bad. It's not, you know, a little
Subaru
mini Impressa SUV.
And I love the little Veloster, you know, little Hyundai Veloster. Those are real cool looking. I mean, these are cool little hatchbacks. That's not bad. I mean, shit. You want a good economy car that gets in the 30 mile per gallon range for under 20 grand. Hello.
I know. That's
and the Jetta's a four-cylinder, 142 horsepower, 184 pounds of torque. I mean, and still gets 34 miles per gallon. I mean, for under 20 grand. I mean, come
we
on.
We could take that and we could put $10,000 worth of Bond Speed wheels on it.
And get less gas mileage. No, your wheels are probably light, so.
But I mean, no, it does show, because we talk about the extravagant cars and the fully loaded cars and the performance cars. And it does show that there is something that you can still buy your wife to drive so that you can afford something more extravagant. And
misogyny exists at Bond Speed.
Well, no, she
Charlotte.
Likes economy. Girl, that's all
are
I'm
you listening,
saying.
Charlotte? I know you're in the next room.
She loves economical vehicles and saving the earth. That's all I'm saying.
She does.
Okay?
She does. No argument. No argument.
But no, it's a great article. It's one you should check out because it's on Autoblog. The guys took some time to research that. And it just opened my eyes because I did not know that one car existed at that price, let alone 15.
50 or 20.
And when you see $15,000, $16,000, I mean, that just seems like, wow. And in today's world where people are making anywhere from $18 to $30 an hour working, you know, you should be able to afford a car, because.
Well, and to kind of put things in perspective too, as a motorcycle guy, the new Triumph line starts around
yeah,
the motorcycle. You look at a BMW, you're in 25, maybe even 30 grand. If you want a GS or GSA that's fully equipped, or you want a new Triumph, Explorer or something. I mean, this bikes are getting expensive. I think the new Aprilia 600 starts around there or runs around there. I mean, wow.
The 24-hour de Le Mans, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I know guys that have bought cars to screw up and take on, on that for more than that.
Yeah, I know, right? $500 car, but
I bought this old 944 Porsche and we did this. And I'm like, what'd you pay for that? 18 grand. I'm like, wow, just to dick it all up. So, but anyway,
that's cool.
It's interesting. And I, something else I saw, I'm always digging around on the internet like you, and I saw this really cool blog, and it was from a company that does manufacturing procurement and helps back. And they did this really cool thing on the biggest milestones in the history of the automotive manufacturing. And we'll put a link with a photo on our Instagram page so that you guys can find it. It's really cool. And on our Twitter also. Because Elon said that I had to put everything on Twitter now too. So it's pretty interesting when you look at it, and you always think of Henry Ford as being the guy who did everything, because that was his machine that, the PR
1908, machine. He changed the world.
Like they start out with the, their very first thing that changed automotive history is the Detroit Automobile Factory. And it was says around 1900, Ransom E. Olds. So yes, the guy Oldsmobile, he's the one who actually started the very first manufacturing factory, less the kind of assembly line. And is the one who kind of helped the moniker Motor City become. Now, Oldsmobile was not that successful. And, of course, it was bought by General Motors. And they bought it because of some of the innovative things that he did, not so much his cars. But it's kind of interesting because I always thought of Henry Ford, but it was actually Olds. Because it wasn't till 1908 that Henry Ford debuted the Model T. That was the one that became the longest running and was only surpassed. It took till 1972 for the Model T to be surpassed. And you know what car did that? Now, I will tell you, the Model T produced 15 million cars. Car in 72 finally beat that?
I would say Volkswagen in the Beetle.
Ding, 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 ding. Are you Googling that as we talk?
No. Yeah. Actually, I'm
the
not.
Beetle. The Beetle.
It's kind of common knowledge in the car guy world.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's like, man, that's like amazing. Yeah. And
the people's car. Yeah.
Now, 1911, Aaron, we're going to go not through all these, but I find this one pretty interesting.
I think I found the article. It's got these pretty little windows, right?
No, but
Dax Street. It's not the Dax Street one.
No, it's not. But hey, you can chime in with some of theirs.
Electric starter.
The electric starter. People didn't have to get out and hand crank those things and have them kick back on them and everything.
Oh, imagine those days, man!
And they said. The big thing was it was an engineering feat to actually make it small enough with enough torque to kick over and fit under the hood of the car. Yeah. And you know what car? Now think of this. What car was the first car to have an electric starter? I will give you this. It was a luxury car.
Don't know. Cadillac? No, it was Cadillac?
Man, you were just on it today, dude. Cadillac?
Really?
Yes.
Well, that was a total, like, out of the wind guess.
1912 Cadillac.
Wow.
1912.
Wow, far out.
So, now I'm going to skip a little ahead because we don't want to.
I was
going to
say,
everybody.
Have you ever hand cranked? Have you ever hand cranked?
No, no, I haven't.
Dude, it's gnarly. I mean, I haven't had it kick back, but I had that little 29 Model A pickup truck for a long time.
Yeah.
It was my friend. And a couple times I did it just for the novelty. And there's definitely like something to it, but it wasn't as hard as I thought. And I didn't have it kick back at all. But yeah, it was kind of cool.
Well, I think about when I've just done it with like a, you know, a socket wrench, you know, turning them over when you're building them or something. And I mean, I can't imagine getting out there every time and having to do that, man. Yeah. That would just.
Okay, honey.
Yeah. Hit the gas.
That was a two person gig.
Jeez. How about air conditioning?
Yeah, interesting, huh? Air conditioning, 1940, right?
Packard.
Oh, yeah.
Packard was the first car to have it, and they said by 1969, more than half of the cars manufactured included AC. And wow. Now, you younger guys out there and gals, you probably don't remember this, but air conditioning was an option, and a pretty pricey option. And I remember my dad always had air conditioning because we grew up in Scottsdale, and all our relatives, when we'd go to Wisconsin or Illinois or something, they'd be like, wow, you guys have air conditioning. You know, it was like, it was a big deal, you know?
Well, in some cars, it's still an option because when I bought my Defender 110, it did not have air conditioning. I thought, man, if I'm going to be out in the desert in the playa and doing these heat runs in Nevada, I want air conditioning. And, yeah, interesting. But, you know, a lot of used cars, it's an option because I see a lot of guys with their windows down, their arms out the window in the middle of summer in Sacramento because their AC ain't working.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. I mean, but this is a really cool article. It's fun. It goes all the way up to modern times. It talks about seat belts and airbags.
Yeah, fuel injection. Yeah.
Yeah. And bags, so, you know, it's worth a look. One of my favorite things about the article was the very first photo. It shows a manufacturing plant back in like the 20s. And I just look at things and I'm mesmerized. And I put a post on my personal Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. Go check it out, where I detailed what caught my eye. And it's the fixture that they use to hold the three-sided hood and hood sides perfectly in place to put them on the car. And it's this cast aluminum fixture, and you just go, God, just, you know, it's an engineering marvel the way they did things. It was really cool. So,
yeah,
pretty neat.
It is. It's fun to look back, especially with all the technology now and all the robotics and all that stuff. It's so neat to look back at how manufacturing was back then. And I'll tell you, just a little strange thing here, too. There's a robotic arm assembly for sale on Craigslist. And I think it's only like $1,200 or something. It's like the whole giant arm assembly like that you see on how it's made. It's like, what times do we live in that? Oh, yeah, I can buy one of those on Craigslist.
Exactly.
Now. I mean, what the hell?
Dude, you should buy it.
I know,
get some guy to program it to do one thing, and that one thing could be like grab the coffee pot off the coffee and come over and pour it in a cup, and like every show you could be sitting here and you could just go and it goes
yeah, cost me $400 electricity to hand someone a business card.
Exactly.
Oh,
wait,
man,
a minute, it could hand start your car.
Yeah, there you go. That's a lot of programming. I think handing a business card would be much easier.
Yeah.
So have a dummy torso with a front pocket, and the robotic arm comes around, grabs a card out of the pocket, and hands it to someone at the doorway.
Wouldn't that be cool?
But that would be scary. like messing around with something like that, that would be scary because those things don't have a safety system that goes, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to hit you so hard. Right. I mean, it's like if you're in the path, I don't know how much those things weigh, but if you're in the path, could you imagine the force of one of those things knocking you upside down?
You know, it'd be cool though. Like if you were a programmer and you had one, you could do it. Would be like mount it, do a really cool mailbox. And whenever the mail guy pulls up, it reaches up, opens it for him so he can put the mail in and then it shuts it. You'd have people from miles away. They'd be like coming to Tahoe on vacation and go, oh, we got to go buy the robot arm mailbox and do a selfie, man. You know, it's,
if it does it with its pinky out, you know.
Exactly. And when it opens, it says the robots are taking over.
Then there's a big speaker that says, "Hey pal,
hey pal, hey pal, the robots are taking over, and they're wearing blue sunglasses."
That's right. Have a good day, pal.
Okay, man. Well, hey, speaking of which, it's a Friday. I got to get wheels out the door, and you gotta go shovel snow.
Yeah. Yeah,
you realize my wheels. Spring. We're well into spring, right, Aaron?
I know, but you know what? You know, it's kind of scary. But my wife—I didn't read it—but my wife said that we have less than 5% of our annual snowfall and retention right now, and that's hard to believe. But if you think about it, we got like 8 feet in December over like 4 days, and then we've had a couple snowfalls of a couple feet, and then we just now had another foot. So, I mean, we should be getting that, every couple of days, like normally.
Well, which is bad because, as they say, our water aquifers, they benefit from the snow, not the rain.
That's right. So we need that snowpack. So it's, it's trippy. It's hard to deal with when it's this late in the season and you're ready for spring. But, boy, do we need it.
They're saying that the ski resorts are staying open until Memorial.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Heavenly, it's a beautiful sunny day. You're on a motorcycle and you hit a stoplight and you're like, man, that was barely green for like 2 minutes. And you see like 10 snowboarders walk across the street. And you're like, what?
This is the time of year that everybody dreams about down here in Southern California, where you can go surfing in the morning, be snowboarding in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, and wear the same bathing suit.
Yeah, there you go. So, okay, pal, we're going to wrap it up.
All right, buddy.
Hey, everybody, make sure that you go to that thing called iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell everybody this is the best podcast they could ever listen to. Their children should come here to be educated. And that many, many sponsors, if you're a CEO of a corporation, just give me a call personally. We'll work some deal out. Anyways, hey, be sure you go there and go to our website because we have an archive of every show, every video, lots of great photos, and there's all kinds of good stuff there. And that's at shiftandsteer.com. And of course, follow us on social media, Shift and Steer on Twitter and Facebook, Shift Steer Media on LinkedIn, not LinkedIn, Instagram. Gee, LinkedIn's a whole different thing.
I was confused the second you said leave a review. After that, I'm like, I got lost.
Oh, come on, man. See, that's what happens when you have old men on your show with you.
On Shift and Steer. It's not here, but you can find Matt at Motorator. You can find me at Aaron Hagar and Brad.
At Bradley_Fanshaw.
There you go.
You know why it became Bradley_Fanshaw? Did I ever tell you the story of that? It was
Brad Fanshaw. Did someone steal your name? Someone stole your name, didn't they?
No. I own Brad Fanshaw also, but I used to be Bond Speed Brad. And I changed to Bradley Fanshaw because this woman who is one of these people that tell you how your name affects your life and everything, said that Bradley Fanshaw is better than Bond Speed Brad, that Bond Speed Brad was heading me in a bad direction.
What?
Yes. Oh. Name and numerology.
I don't buy it.
Met her at a cocktail party. I believed it. And Aaron, if you look, ever since I've changed my Instagram, I think I have increased by 200 people. and I lost 10,000 because I didn't know when you changed it. It went and erased everybody.
Oh no.
I had 11,000 people at one time and it erased everybody when I changed the name. Didn't know that.
Oh man.
No, I guess she was wrong. But well, no, it did change my life. I lost a whole lot of followers. So yeah. She was correct.
It was like I started over.
Yes, I wiped my slate.
Started fresh.
So, hey, Maddie will be back next week. It should be all three of us. And
cool.
And thanks. And hey, keep interacting. Keep using the word pal. We dig that.
So, with blue sunglasses. Right,
thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks, Aaron. Good show, man.
All right, buddy. A lot of fun.
Like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. That's Geico, G-E-I-C-O.